The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
Yes, indeed. We are back and a little bit of a hiatus, I guess, like about 2 weeks, I guess, Derek.
It's just kind of, it's like a week and a half. I mean, yeah. I think it's just how the scheduling went for us. We never tape on a Monday, and we're taping on a Monday. And I think last time we taped on a Friday.
Well, we did tape Sunday when we had Meredith on. We taped Sunday the day after the All-Star game.
Yeah, we just, you know what? It's the summer, not a lot's happening, and so we'll just do what we want.
A little quiet around.
We run the show, Manny.
Yes, we make all the determinations.
We wear the headphones.
Exactly. we're going to have some fun, though, this week, and so much going on. And big news breaking today, actually, the day we tape this. Lindsay Whalen is, she's hanging it up after this year. And she announced in a press conference today, the team announced it, the Lynx announced it today, that the 2018 season will be Lindsay's final in the WNBA. And here to talk about it with us,
Lindsay Whalen, everybody.
Lindsay Whalen, she's here. No. Kyle Radke's here.
Everybody's disappointed now.
We just killed the vibe.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, all right, well, next.
Delete download.
Yeah.
As long as they download it.
Talk about a buzzkill. Oh, it's Kyle. You don't know who that is.
Kyle Radke's here, and lots to talk about. I think we're going to talk a lot of Lindsay this week because she deserves it. I mean, let's be real here. Like, she has been, I mean, So much has been said about what she's meant to Minnesota basketball, but I think just as a Minnesota athlete, I think she's right up there in the cream of the crop with a lot of other greats that we've seen play and perform at a high level in this state.
Like, I mean, as far as the players who, I mean, because I remember Lindsay on that Gophers team with Janelle McCarville and their run to the Final Four, and just how invested everyone was in that team. Even in middle school, I remember my health teacher had the Gopher women's basketball poster on the wall in middle school. And that's like part of the reason too, like growing up and, you know, remembering when the WNBA came out, I was like, oh, it's just basketball. And just seeing how on fire the city was for that team and then following her to Connecticut. And yeah, it's really hard to think of a lot of athletes that have meant more. I mean, I think you put like Kirby Puckett up there. I mean, Randy Moss, I mean, he was only, what, 6 years, five, 6 years or so?
Seven. And then he had like the 2010. Half season that he came back in 2010.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was very
weird. That wasn't fun. That wasn't fun.
That was the worst season ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a fun Viking season. It was interesting because a lot of things went down that year. But
yeah, to your point, I mean, like Kirby Puckett's probably on the list. And
yeah.
I mean, I would even probably say Whalen over Kevin Garnett, I think, as far as just Minnesota basketball players and what they've done for Minnesota basketball. I mean, it has to be like Lindsay Whalen with how much time she spent here and what she accomplished at every single level. It's just really remarkable what she's done.
I told it to Royce today that when you really think about it, like, she's been a star at every level. She was a star at Hutchinson in high school. She was a star at the University of Minnesota and just was a huge catalyst in turning that program around and, you know, making that program, you know, what it eventually became. And
I was stunned to learn that they were playing at the Pavilion and then eventually, you know, with her, it's like, okay, we got to go to the barn. And
those were some rough years, man. Those were some rough years, man. Just like Lindsay's her freshman and sophomore years, like those were some rough years, man. Like well, really, I take that back. Like, really, her freshman year, because Brenda came in, Brenda Oldfield at the time, came in. I think Lindsay was a sophomore, and they like completely. It was like one of the most remarkable like single season turnarounds in like college basketball history. Like, they went from being like a 6 or 7 win team to winning like 20 plus games and making the tournament. And then a couple of years later with Pam Borton and all of them, they went to the Final Four. But, Kyle, you've gotten a chance to, you know, be around the links and working with the links and everything, and you've got a chance to experience some of, you know, the Lindsay Whalen experience, and what can you put into words about just what she has meant to Minnesota in general?
So my first Lindsay Whalen memory, I have two of them. One was I must have been 2002 or 2003. I was at a Twins game, right? I've talked to her about this. We were upper deck, and she was working as a usher, like where she just stands at the end. And my dad told me, he said, that's Lindsay Whalen. And she must have got done with her sophomore, junior year, right? Maybe junior year after her Sweet 16 season.
Yeah.
And my dad said, go have her sign this ball. I had no idea. I mean, I think I must have been 12 or 13 at the time. Didn't really know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Went up, had her sign the ball for me. So I have a signed Lindsay Whalen signed baseball. And the next year I was on a hunting trip in Nebraska with my dad. And I remember, and this is when, you know, in 2004, the WNBA isn't what it is now. Just like, you know, how the WNBA is not what it is now.
It was still figuring out what markets were viable.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember watching that draft because I wanted to know where Whalen was going to go in the draft. And I remember, because I remember one of the guys on our trip was giving me crap for it. And, you know, and I'm like, what? Screw you, dude. You know what I mean? And, you know, we all have guys like, it's like, just shut up.
Right.
So I remember watching that and just how big of a fan I was and watching those games as a 13 or 14 year old kid. And you got to think, those are happening the same time as the Western Conference Finals. I can tell you, I remember more about watching Lindsay Whalen and the Gophers than I do the Timberwolves, sadly. So,
well, as you know, with Sam Cassell out, that, you know, they didn't have a great chance.
Yeah, but I mean, even like just memories of watching the Timberwolves as a young kid, I don't really have that many, but for some reason, watching Whalen and McCarville and those Gophers, it just stands out to me. So, I was actually saying this on the phone today to somebody. We were talking about Whalen and how everything happened and how it didn't. I remember being at the press conference today and it didn't feel like as big of a deal as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the production of it was, you know, just like any star.
National TV, exactly. NBA TV.
So, and I was trying to think to myself, I said, like, what is it about this that doesn't seem like it's this huge thing? And I think it's because we all feel like we know, whether we do or not, we all feel like we know Lindsay Whalen. Yeah. And she seems so normal to us.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like this huge star that is, oh my gosh, like that's Lindsay Whalen.
She's just
Instead,
Lindsay.
It's like, hey, there's Lindsay.
Yeah,
and it's
she's
like,
just
hey.
Lindsay. She's
and she
one
waves
of us.
At you and, you know, and that's the thing. She comes to our office and this last winter, she was looking for guys to play pickup. She wanted to play a game of threes or fours or whatever.
Yeah.
And she came to my office and she goes, Radke, let's play basketball. And it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I got to go to a meeting quick. And she goes, you know, screaming across the office. She goes, Radke, everybody knows you don't work here. You know, and it's like stuff like that. And, you know, I'm never going to pretend I'm, you know, best friends with her or whatever.
Right.
But like that's who she was to our office and the Wolves and Lynx. And I think that's who she is to Minnesota. So I think when this happens to people close to the cities and grew up watching her, it just seems like the next step for her.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't seem like as big of a deal as it should, but I mean, it's obviously a huge deal.
Well, I think it helps too that she's, you know, she's staying, quote unquote. I mean, even if she retired and was just going to go drink beer in the woods, like she would still be doing that in Minnesota, but she's going to go coach the Gophers. So it doesn't even feel like she's going away. It just feels like she's doing something different.
Yeah, because we're not losing her.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I think that's a good point. It's like when Simone Augustus retires, I'm sure she'll move back down to Louisiana, and we probably won't see much of her, you know, anymore.
Until they retire her jersey or something.
Yeah, whenever that is. With Whalen, you know that you've got her probably for another 10 or 15, 20 years, and, you know, hopefully coaching the Gophers program.
Isn't it amazing when you think about, and obviously Lindsay has a huge role in this, but you think about how many jersey numbers are going to be retired in Target Center eventually.
13, 23, 33. Do they go to like Katie Smith?
Maybe.
I feel like you kind of have to at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really integral to those early teams, even though they were lousy.
Especially if she gets in, because she's a Hall of Fame finalist.
Yeah.
So if she gets in, if she gets into the Hall, I don't think you have a choice.
No. I mean when the Liberty come to town, just do it.
Yeah.
Well, they did, I think the last time the Liberty were here, or maybe it might have been 2 times.
Video tribute or something.
They did a video tribute for her, and you know, and that was really cool and everything. But you know, when I think about Lindsay, I obviously think about the run in 04, but she just personifies Minnesota basketball. Like, mm-hmm. you just think it's amazing because we've had a lot of, you know, great talented players that are, you know, from here, that have come through here, that have weren't from here but played here and contributed a lot. But she is the one, like, when somebody says Minnesota basketball, I can't lie. Like, she is the first person that I immediately think of.
Yeah.
Right away.
I don't think that's wrong. I mean, there's plenty of good company in there, and maybe doesn't stand out quite as much, but as far as, you know, homegrown talent, even you want to extend that out. I mean, like, KG is the closest, but KG, you know, he didn't stay, and whether or not, you know, that's really his choice. He still had some of his best years outside of Minnesota and Boston as he declined into in Brooklyn. Think of it. I mean, he's from what, South Carolina?
He'd like to forget that too, I think.
Yeah, he probably.
If he could forget Brooklyn too, he'd be great with that.
Yeah, I think Nets fans would like to forget that trade.
Yeah, probably. Are the Nets done owing the Celtics?
I think they're done.
I think so.
Has that debt been completely paid off?
5 years.
I think they're all done. Yeah. Well, and the thing with KG is, I think you're absolutely right. I think it ended. He won in Boston, but then I think having him come back, that's fine. I think things have been, you know, rocky
and
down that path.
Yeah.
But then two people come to mind when I think Minnesota basketball. Waylon is first, mm-hmm. and the second is Flip Saunders.
Yeah.
Yes, Flip.
Yes.
Because you talk about two players, you know, former Gopher players, and, you know, you hear stories around town of Lindsey Waylon Gopher camps back in the day. Mm-hmm. You hear stories all the time about Flip Saunders basketball camps. And
Random people say, oh, yeah, I ran into Flip this one time and this or that.
Yeah.
It happens.
And they're both – they're both very similar. And it's kind of the same thing where it's you don't think as Flip as this giant star. I remember how weird I thought it was seeing him in Detroit and Washington.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Being like, that is weird. Not because he's on another team, just because he never seemed that big time to me. Like, watching the Fox Sports North telecast growing up, it was like, oh, that's –
It's almost like Uncle Flip.
I know Flip. And you see him on like ESPN, you're like, oh, wow. This is big time. This is Flip. And even Waylon, seeing her on like Area 21 last year, I was like, dang. Like, Waylon's famous. Like,
it's a big
deal. Yeah, of course she's famous. She's a top 3 point guard of all time. But I guess in my mind, I don't think of it like that.
Well, and I think with both of them too, and I'm glad you brought up Flip too, because that's like the perfect comparison, is that they were both huge staples to two different Minnesota basketball programs. It wasn't just like when you think of Lindsay, you think of her with the Lynx, and you also think of her as a Gopher. You think of Flip, you think of him coaching the Wolves forever, and also being a Gopher. Like,
you almost can't separate those things.
You can't separate them, and because they're so deeply rooted and deeply connected with two different programs locally, that. Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking like Mount Rushmores for Minnesota basketball, it's just like you put Flip and Lindsay like right there at the top. So I want to ask you, Kyle, about the Lynx on the court a little bit. It's been an interesting season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's a little bit of a different season because, I mean, we've gotten so used to them, you know, being at the top of the standings and knowing that they were going to have, you know, probably one of the top two.
Because usually by now they're like 30-2, and
and they have the first round bye and probably the second round bye and home court advantage.
Right.
It's weird, but I don't. And you could kind of sense it from Cheryl today when she was talking. It doesn't seem like there's any disappointment because. All right, so I was having this argument with one of my friends, and he said, "Well, you know, you guys won it last year. Why don't the Lynx, there's older players. You guys should have, you had to make some moves." And I said, think about what you're saying. They won it, you know, you make 6 straight finals or, you know, 6 finals in 7 seasons, and you want to blow it up after winning it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make moves. It's like, what are you going to do? First off, Brunson, Augustus, and Waylon, 3 icons to this franchise. You let those players play out their career no matter what.
Okay. Like, they weren't dumping Mamataj on someone back in the day.
Exactly. It's, I mean, whatever. And then you look at, and you have Maya Moore, who's 28, I believe.
Yeah.
Then you have Syl, who's a little, you know, a little on the edge of probably like 31, 32. So you have two players right in their prime.
Yeah.
So you go next year, you see what happens. Whalen retires. You have Daniel Robinson, who's a nice piece. And
she's 28,
it sounds
29.
Like she's going to, you know, miss the rest of the season with an ankle injury. But you have pieces, and they're going to make the playoffs this year. They clinched, I think it was like the league-leading active eighth straight playoff clinch. They're going to get – right now I think they have the seventh seed. They're going to get, you know, the fifth, sixth, or seventh, depending how the next three games go. So we'll see, but it's also a team that I wouldn't doubt in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, if you go against a five-game series against Seattle or the Sparks, that's going to be tough. But also, I wouldn't dismiss them in these, you know, elimination games, even though, I mean, their roster is kind of
especially when it's one game
right
though.
Now. Yeah, one game is scary either way. But it's been an interesting year. But I think you have some wins. You have, you know, Maya All-Star Game MVP. And I think the All-Star Game in general in Minneapolis.
That was big.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And I think that was very big for the fan base. And you get some eyes on the sport. You know, especially locally to a fan base, it probably deserves it after, you know, how loyal they've been. And we talked before this, Daniel Robinson talking about how great the Lynx fan base was. And that's common across the league that players come in and they go, oh my goodness, you guys care this much. And yeah. And I mean, it's true. And I think part of it has to do with a fan base because they created a winning culture. And I think a lot of it has to do with too on the, and I think we can make more steps on this, but on the business side and on at least our side of content and, you know, production, we put a lot of resources into treating the Lynx just like we will with the Wolves, because you should. That's the right thing to do.
I think that was something that's very similar that was said over All-Star Weekend. I forget who exactly said it. It might have been Lisa Borders, or it could have been Coach Reeve herself, saying, if you cover women's basketball like it matters, it will matter.
Yeah.
And I know, too, in talking to Danielle Robinson, and she was talking about just, like, the culture here, and just what's really impressed her is that people come up and be like, hey, we love you guys. We love to support you because you bring home the championships. And, like, I think just culturally, in a town that just wants a winner that's gone 27 years without a professional championship, having a team like the Lynx that fans know, like, all right, well, we're going to be one of the teams to beat. We're going to be the front runners for a championship every year. I want to be a part of that.
And when you think about the amount of attention that the Lynx get here, and then you look around like the rest of the league, there are teams around the rest of the league that just don't, and it's unfortunate, but they just don't get the same amount of attention. Like, we give this team a lot of attention here and a lot of love. And I just looked, I saw somebody a couple of months ago tweeting out something about, like the LA Times doesn't, like, they don't cover the Sparks.
They don't have a beat
at
writer.
All. Like, they don't have a beat and writer to cover the Sparks.
And the thing
at
is,
all.
Like, you don't have to travel. That's fine, I guess. Yeah. But you have to have at least a beat writer.
Yeah.
And that's silly to me. And even we go to different WNBA websites. You know, it's something we do, you know, with NBA websites as well. And just kind of, we kind of see where we can improve on content. And even on WNBA websites, they don't cover their teams as well as we do. And that's not a huge, like, oh, we're great. But it just, it seems like you should put those resources in if you really want to get these teams to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll tell anybody, watch these games. Like,
yes.
They're freaking good. Like, it's so much fun to watch. I remember I first started covering the Lynx in 2013. And as a 22, 23-year-old, I had Wolves tickets, season tickets for 4 years prior. And I didn't really know what to expect going to the Lynx. They won the title two seasons before that. Mm-hmm. But the WNBA, I didn't watch a lot of it. But being around that team and watching them, and I think the rest of the community is starting to take notice. But a point to what we were talking about, when fans know that you're going to be good, mm-hmm. right? When they know you can come back year after year. Even when you're a team that's proven to be a winner and you stop winning for whatever reasons, fans still follow you.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we see it with the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm.
They have credibility.
You go, okay, yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. The Knicks were kind of similar up until, you know, probably the last 15 years. But
Knicks
even after, you know, the Ewing days, I think people are still like, okay, it's still the Knicks. They'll figure it out. Miami Heat, they got Pat Riley, they got the pieces in place, they'll figure it out. Even though you look at their roster right now and you're like, what are they figuring out?
Well, even now, but the conversation around the Spurs, like, they lost Kawhi, like, oh, I'm kind of worried about them, but I don't know, man. It's the Spurs, and because they haven't missed the playoffs in like 30 years, yeah. or once
and,
in 30
and
years.
And even now, it's like they trade for DeRozan. You know, they trade Kawhi for DeRozan, and it's like you still see Spurs fans that are like, you know, you just lost. The Spurs just lost one of the top, when he's healthy, one of
probably
the top
the best
three
players.
Yeah, one of the top three overall players in the league. Like, normally when that happens, you're like, you're pissed. Like, let's be real. You're pissed, but... You know, DeRozan comes in and they're just like, well, yeah, we got DeRozan and you know, we got Pop and they're going to figure it out. They're going to be fine. They're going to make the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mentality. But because they have that equity built up for two decades now.
Yep.
You know, trust them and...
You trust them and you rely on them. And it's kind of the same thing with the Lynx where you just think, look, they've got 7, 8, 9 years of...
Dominance
of being a championship, you know, caliber team every single year and being in the mix to win a title every single year, that you just have the confidence that they're going to figure things out and that they're going to be fine.
So here's a WNBA stat resource that I found, because Sloan Martin and I were talking about this, just how difficult it is to find even game logs for players.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really hard to do your job to the best that you can. This place called Positive Residual put out like a WNBA tool with a whole bunch of stats that's very cool to check out, and that I was just digging through. I'm like, this is a lot of fun, and you can kind of see where the flaws are in some teams, and like the Atlanta Dream, and like, and you can kind of find it, start to see like advanced stats, like the Atlanta Dream have a 97 defensive rating. That is stupid.
Yeah,
like, they may not shoot, but good Lord, it doesn't matter. You're not going to score either.
Renee Montgomery was shooting pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, 8 threes.
Yeah, 8 threes.
But they're good too. I mean, and that just speaks to the entire league. Like, when you look around at how many teams are, the league is so balanced now. I mean, mm-hmm. You've got Seattle and Atlanta at the top of the standings, but as good as they are, you know, somebody a couple spots below them could easily go in and beat them.
Well, I mean,
the
look
league
at this.
is so spread wide open.
Like,
now.
Indiana is probably the consensus worst team in the league, right? And then the Liberty are, you know, clearly not going to be a playoff team. The Sky, not a playoff team. Outside of that, like, the Aces and the Wings are fighting for that final playoff spot, and it's close. And so there's just so much talent that even the teams on the outside, you know, a break here and there, and they could be in a completely different situation.
Well, even look at Chicago. They have Vandersloot and...
Allie Quigley.
Quigley in their backcourt. Two all-stars.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like...
Were you there for the 3-point contest?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
But that's the thing. It's like, you look at every team and that you can pick three players and you're like, you know, pick three players on your team. You're like, I want her, her, and her. And I've never seen the league like this before. I mean, this is, Seattle was a long time coming, and I think they kind of built it kind of like the Lynx did.
Yeah.
Draft picks. They made some moves. Getting Natasha Howard from the Lynx.
That was a
turned out to be a good deal. But I will never say that the Lynx shouldn't have made that trade. I just don't think things were going to work with Natasha Howard here. And just because you trade her and it works somewhere else doesn't mean that was going to work here.
That makes sense. Like,
and I think that's the same with any sport.
Her role here was so different. It was more like, hey, we need you to play defense. We need you to grab rebounds and hit shots when you're open. It was a very different role than she's playing in Seattle. I think that's one thing that I've missed a lot of, or at least I have not heard in the conversation around her. I mean, you do have to account for team fit and all that. When you have Maya, Sylvia, Simone, and even a point guard like Lindsay that can get in, that could get into the lane at will, I mean, there's just not a lot of extra touches to go around.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Speaking of the Dallas Wings, by the way,
Is this the Liz Cambage appreciation hour? Almost.
Well, it could be.
It might be the Fred Williams appreciation hour.
I mean, how about the weekend they had, man? Well, I mean, they've been struggling. They've like low-key quietly lost 8 in a row, and they fired their coach
over the
weekend.
8 games out of a 34-game season.
That's
huge. Significant.
That's a fourth. That's basically a fourth of your season.
Yeah.
Basically the Lynx's start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But Fred Williams gets fired, and speaking of Mama Taj, she's going to be the interim coach the rest of the way for them, and they're fighting for that last playoff spot. But
literally
that's,
fighting with each other.
Yeah, I've I can't think of another situation like this that I've ever really seen where a coach gets fired. We've seen coaches get fired, you know,
they
late
had to
into
do
the
something.
Season.
You can't have your coach
but
or GM fighting.
When you're in the middle of a playoff run like this, and they're trying to get in, and obviously they're on a losing streak right now, but that's just really, really weird to see something like that happen to a team that's in it. Because usually if somebody fires their coach, it's like they're in the bottom of the standings and, you know, they're trying to, you know, start things over eventually.
But that happened with, like, the Dream did earlier this season before they got Nicky Collin in.
Yeah.
And then they went on their big run where they probably lost, like, 2 games in the last, like, 17 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if your goal is to save a playoff spot, and right, and you're hoping that, you know, Taj McWilliams, Franklin, and she definitely can rally the troops. But and you got to think that Las Vegas is in there, and they had to forfeit that game. Which, you know, whether you think they should or they shouldn't have forfeited, I don't. I'm still kind of on the fence about that. But
me too.
they had to forfeit a game. So
my thought on that is, I mean, they kind of. I mean, I feel like the league took a long time because they were trying to figure out, okay, can we reschedule this? Can we make this work logistically?
And I'm sure they made the ask.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have to remember who's the head coach of Las Vegas, and he's not. A very unstubborn man, Bill
Is
Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer kind of a Richard? I didn't notice.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, speaking of the Lynx, do you remember, this must have been 4 or 5 years ago, Maya Moore went off for like 30 points or 35 points, and it was at the end of the month, and the Lynx beat, it must have been the Liberty by like 20 or 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to get a quote from Bill Laimbeer after the game on Maya. And I asked him, and it was just me. And I asked him, I said something about Maya, blah, blah, blah. And he had a quote basically saying that Maya deserved to be hurt for playing. Then he said, I know what the Lynx are trying to do, something along the lines of they want to get her another player of the month. That's crap. Whatever. So I get the quote.
Wow.
I have the quote. Wow. And I was like, I don't even know what I can do with this. Like, I can't write this on linksbasketball.com.
Right.
Whatever. So I gave it to Phil Irvin, who used to work for Fox Sports.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he posted it on the site. It got picked up by Yahoo the next day. Everybody's like, where did this quote come from? And, you know, Phil's like, I got it. I talked to Bill. And I was like, geez Louise. Yeah. Because I remember somebody brought that up the other day. I was like, I actually got that quote. And I was 23, and I had no idea what the hell to do.
What was your follow-up question to that?
I think I just left. I said, thank you, and I left.
You did like Ray Ratto did with Pop last year. Where he like asked Pop something about, you know, when did you guys think that the game was going to get out of control, and Pop just like flipped out on him, and Ray Ratto was just like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Like, appreciate it. Thank you for all your time.
Well, I remember Bill Laimbeer, my fondest memory of Bill Laimbeer was when he was coaching Detroit and when Michael Cooper was coaching the Sparks, and they had the brawl thing or whatever. But I just remember Michael Cooper like flipped out on Bill Laimbeer in a post game or something. And it just reminded me of like Lakers versus Pistons. Late 80s NBA Finals stuff, because you got a former Laker and a former Piston, the guy who was at the forefront of being, you know, the bad boys, going at it, and they're like coaching WNBA teams, and it's like no love has been lost whatsoever.
No. They're like, no, we have not matured a bit. Yeah.
So what's next for you the rest of the summer, Kyle?
Yeah, so Lynx, they'll close out the season. The NBA schedule came out last Friday. Which, what a busy weekend it was.
82 games, 41 home games, correct?
Yep, and that's the thing about the NBA season. We get so excited about the schedule release, and it's kind of cool for like Christmas games and you know, the Martin I always think
like home openers.
Yeah,
and
MLK
all that.
Day, and I think the Sunday matinee games are always cool, like those 2:30 games, and the Wolves have a few.
They have an ABC one like the end of the season against OKC.
Yep. April 7th, I think.
Yeah.
Those are fun. But we have a bunch of content on that on Timberwolves.com. We made this thing. It's actually a pretty cool thing. James, he's an associate. The guy's like the smartest person I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
We've had him make all these websites.
Yeah.
And like websites I've never seen before. I didn't even know they were possible. He made this website where I put together my top 10 home games of the regular season on Timberwolves.com. Kind of a fun read, just kind of looking through them. And, you know, if I was a fan, what games would I choose to go to? Well, he built a website where you can pick your 10 home games and put them into this little box, and then you can submit it, and one fan wins those 10 games.
Oh, that's really
cool. Like a 10-game package. Really cool. Cool. And they're two lower deck seats. And I'm not a company sales guy. As you guys know, I'm not. But I just think this website is very cool. So most of the time, as an editorial guy, when people ask me to do salesy things, I normally do not enjoy that. but this one was actually pretty cool. So
that's not really salesy, because like you don't have to buy anything. You just say, hey, I would like to go to these 10 games. And then they say yes or no.
Yeah, then you say, you get an email later saying you lost. Thank you. Read Kyle's article.
Here's more Kyle Radke.
He needs the clicks to keep his job.
Read more from Kyle Radke here.
Otherwise, man, I mean, like, as you guys were talking about not having a show for like a week and a half, my dude, Timberwolves.com, it was like a desert for like a month.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's no news.
It's quiet.
And there's really nothing going on kind of about what we're allowed to talk about. So, but coming up, I mean, WNBA playoffs and then literally in like 3 weeks training camp.
Yeah, media day is probably end of September.
Yeah, probably third week of September, I would imagine.
What do you think, before we get out of here, what do you think of James Nunnally?
So
he's a shooter.
He can shoot 50%. Yeah. And it's not like a small sample size. I think
over
it was like
2 years.
Yeah,
too.
It's like over like 200 attempts. I don't want to overreact and be like, oh, this is a guy that's going to play 18 minutes a game. Like,
right.
Probably not. But if you're rounding out your roster, I think there's worse guys you can get. Especially when you look at the free agent pool left. And I think Scott Layden and Tibbs, as much as you talk about the Timber Bulls and getting all Tibbs' guys back, I think that was a creative way to get another player that isn't in the, you know, you don't know what you're getting with him, and it's a low-risk move. So 3-and-D is probably overused, but I think that's kind of the player that you can, because he's a better shooter than Marcus Georges Hunt, and Georges Hunt played. And he was okay. He played like 4 games.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like the thing that I like to see with the moves of Nunnally and Williams is that it does show some creativity and some thinking outside the box, given the limited resources they do have. And that was kind of my gripe to that point with the offseason was that, yeah, they're in this situation, but how are you going to get creative and think like the other smart teams in the league do? And just so just seeing like, hey, we'll pluck this guy out of Europe right now that other teams are, and that's the thing, like it's not like no one else was going after Nunnally.
Yeah, and I think that's another cool thing for Wolves fans, because they said like the Rockets and there were some other teams going after him, and it's like if you win those sweepstakes, obviously he's looking at playing time and whatnot and everything, but and probably guaranteed money and everything else. But one thing about CJ Williams, so I like that signing as well, 28-year-old shooting guard from the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What I do not like is that the Clippers signed him to a 3-year deal at the end of the season, because I was doing some research on him. The Los Angeles Times writes this huge story on him and how he's so happy and his dad's very happy, and it was very an emotional piece. And then they released him like 3 weeks later.
That's really strange.
Very strange. That is weird. Obviously, he's not, you know, an unguaranteed contract, but I just think that.
Well, Doogie had him on the Scoop podcast, and he seems like a pretty down-to-earth dude. And
yeah.
Someone's really worked his way up, so it'd be cool to see him succeed.
Those are the guys. Those are guys you like to see.
Should be a fun season. It's August. We're, a month and a half away from – I mean, we're 2.5 months away from the season starting, and then we're, a month and a half or so away from, like, training camp.
Training camp, preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey, guys, shout-out to Lindsay Whalen.
Yes.
Shout-out to Way.
Shout-out to Lindsay Whalen. She's the best. She's awesome. Happy retirement to her. Still got some basketball left to be played, though. We'll see how things go the rest of the way here towards the end of the season. But, yeah, big announcement today. Lindsay Whalen is going to retire after the season, but lots more to come with her being the Gophers women's basketball coach. It's going to be fun. That's going to be – I'm super, super pumped to watch her, like, on the sidelines at the barn. Just
that's
like
gonna be sick.
Coaching, like it's
gives me chills, kind of. Like,
yeah, it's really, it's just gonna be really,
I
want to
see
really
her
cool.
Get teed up and get into it.
But she will,
because she is that competitive.
But see, it's interesting because Lindsay doesn't strike me as somebody who is going to be like, well, like, let's take Tibbs, for example. Tibbs is very animated.
So we've heard.
On the sidelines. Yes. He's very animated.
I've heard rumors.
Rumor has
it. Lindsay doesn't strike me as somebody that will be very animated, but if she ever were to get like a technical, it would be like she would say something. Like a referee would like be walking by and she'd say something very subtly, and then she'd get like teed up for it.
Because if she got fired up, she'd get fired up and be like, yeah, she earned that.
Yeah. Exactly. Kyle, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Kyle Radke, Timberwolves.com, joining us on Raised by Wolves. Find us on iTunes, podcast1.com, 1500ESPN.com as well. For Derek and Kyle, I'm Manny. Talk to you next time.